A law professor argues that one of our most important privacy protections is failing us. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. There are countless bits of information about individuals floating around in databases of internet companies, financial institutions, and government agencies. Anonymization, or the stripping of information that would identify individuals, is one way in which our sensitive data is protected from prying eyes. But University of Colorado law professor Paul Ohm argues in a new paper that anonymizing data no longer works. His paper cites extensive research showing the ease with which individuals can be re-identified in anonymous databases using rather simple techniques. Anonymization, says Ohm, is a false promise.
That disrupts all sorts of assurances that people have made to us, that the law has made to us. And in the paper, what I do is I sketch out a very, very specific example that I call the Database of Ruin, a dramatic name, and some people have pushed back on me on this. The theory here is that if we think of, you know, the 5,000 or 10,000 anonymized databases floating out there somewhere that have some information about you, I think for a lot of people, and in fact, I think in the paper I say for most people, there is one fact in there that you wouldn't want your worst enemy to know. It's something that can be used to blackmail you, to harass you, to discriminate against you. I say in the paper that we really need to think of those 5,000 or 10,000 databases suddenly constructively being connected to one another. And so even if we're not directly connectable today to the fact that could ruin us, I think that we're much, much, much closer to it than we were 10 years ago.
You mentioned that this nightmare scenario of yours has gotten some pushback. What has been the criticism?
You know, the key pushback, the question is how many people really do have this fact that could ruin their lives in an electronic database somewhere, right? This is a riff on the age-old I've got nothing to hide argument. But, you know, I've always been one who has believed on this empirical question that if we really put our minds to it and if we really pictured our worst enemy, not just some officious government bureaucrat, but our worst enemy, I think that most of us are going to have that fact out there somewhere.
I can certainly think of things I don't want people to know, but I don't know. Personally, I can't think of ruination. I have not led that interesting of a life to be ruined by anything I've ever done.
And so maybe the point of this paper is I have too many skeletons in my closet. But
Well, is it possible for companies and government agencies and others to still have useful data and data that is truly anonymous? Can the two coexist?
The better question to ask, the more important question to ask is, are there techniques that can render data both useful and at the same time private enough, sufficiently private? And when you ask the question that way, the techniques aren't just math and statistics questions about anonymization. They also include questions like, what are the access controls protecting the data? Who wants this data and why? What are the motives of the people out there who might have access to the data? And so, as a theoretical matter, no, perfect anonymization and utility are at war with one another. But what I try and do in my papers is, you know, change the orientation of our debate. It should be about privacy, not anonymity.
Paul Ohm from the University of Colorado Law School. You can find a link to his paper on our site, futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm John Gordon.